I want to make sure I communicate what I have written down. And so, to begin with, as we gather here in the name of Christ this morning, I again want to express my thankfulness to God for the privilege to be pastor of West Valley Grace Fellowship and for the support and the encouragement that I have received from all of you. So as we prepare for the future of this ministry at West Valley Grace Fellowship, I thank God that there will be another fellowship in the valley that will be preaching and teaching the Word of God, rightly divided, that will be preaching the gospel of the grace of God. That thrills my soul and my heart. That is the message that needs to be preached to the church, the body of Christ. And so I am thankful to God that that's happening. Let me just read an email that I just was given this morning that somebody has received, and how appropriate it is. I'm going to start right in here where it says, "In fact, I am humbled at the pure love and concern you placed on me and the church here in Nigeria." Now, this wasn't written to me. Keep that in mind. It was written to somebody else. But I have been in contact with this person also. "The truth is that we have not known the mystery doctrine deeper until the Lord brought you to us via the internet. We are both thankful and grateful to God the Father by Jesus Christ our Savior." And so that's exciting. I think sometimes we get looking at the universe, creation, from our perspective rather than God's perspective. God is sovereign over all His creation, and He knows the beginning from the end. But as it is so common in our natural selves, we are so focused and concerned about our little part of all of this. And so as a result of that, a lot of times, I've often been amazed when I was growing up in high school and college and everything, we were very successful in athletics and we thought we were one of the best in the world, like, you know, but nobody even knows about us now. If I ask somebody who won the Kickapoo Valley Conference in 1959, they're going to say, huh? Well, that was our world. We you know, you see kids going around, we're number one. In a very small pond. But the church, the body of Christ, is far bigger than West Valley Grace Fellowship, far bigger than the Phoenix area. There are believers in Jesus Christ all over the world, and many of them are suffering tremendously for their faith in Jesus Christ. Many of them are not blessed with the material abundance that we just almost take for granted. And we whine about our misfortunes and all of our struggles, when there is a far more important entity than any one of us. And yet we were infinitely important in God's sight, because He sent His Son to die for each one of us. But we so often get ourselves caught up in our own concerns and our own cares, and they become so preeminent that sometimes we may even put them over what's best for the church, the body of Christ. And so I think that's an important thing for all of us to keep in mind, that our God is a wonderful God. And so, as I said here, I am thankful that there'll be a new fellowship of believers, another outlook, another outgrowth, or whatever you want to call it, for the gospel of the grace of God to be preached. And I thank God for those who will be joining them and assisting in their ministry, and will be able to fellowship together with like-minded believers. I mean that with all my heart. I'm confident that God has ordained this. You know, God works through the agency of human beings. And oftentimes when the, and I'm not suggesting this is the case now, but oftentimes there are underlying motives or other reasons than the glory of God for what we want to have happen in our lives and that type of thing. And so I don't see that here at all. I'm confident that God has ordained this, and it is my prayer that we can continue to rejoice together in the marvelous gospel of His grace and the great future that we all have waiting for us as members of the body of Christ. And so it is my desire that we would encourage each other and support each other through this as members of the body of Christ, and not as, here's what I think, or here's what I believe, or here's what I want. Because the body of Christ is more important, and the presentation of that body of Christ is more important than our own desires. And so it is absolutely and entirely possible for these circumstances right now to demonstrate the marvelous power of God's grace and the manifest love of Christ if we continue to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean we all have to compromise what we believe or anything like that. But the real key is to do all we can to minister for the well-being of the body of Christ. On the other hand, it is possible to provide for the lusts of the flesh and satisfy our carnal nature's voracious appetite by maligning or misrepresenting those with whom we disagree. We may all have opinions and thoughts about what we believe and all of these types of things, or what transpired, but that's not what our focus should be on. I pray each of us will be submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit through these coming days, being strong in the Lord while rejoicing in Christ in the riches of His grace, keeping our eyes upon Him. We can all demonstrate our faith in the sovereign purpose of God, as well as our spiritual maturity, by the way we speak and conduct ourselves as ambassadors of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Each of us has a sacred responsibility to live lives worthy of our calling and to present ourselves in such a manner that the name of Christ will be glorified. I have often said that you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with what I believe, and I still say that. It has been a doctrinal issue that has led to this division, and from my perspective, I respect the decision of those who have determined to start another fellowship. I support that. I am thankful that the Lord has brought Pastor Ware and Ruth here for this purpose. Let's begin with some Bible verses now. Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. In whom, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And so I am convinced that God is working this also after the counsel of His own will. We can trust Him in it. He has His purposes in it. I can remember when I wasn't at this place in my Christian walk once, and I was in Bible college, and one of the instructors had said something that I didn't agree with, and it bothered me considerably. And I went to another fellow student that I was close to, and I said to him something about, well, I just can't believe what he said or something, and I think it's wrong and everything else. And he said, well, don't tell me. Go talk to him. I think that's a wonderful lesson for me, and I would pray that would be a lesson for each one of us. Go talk to him and see why he believes it or why he said it, rather than do anything that would in some sense start to polarize members of the body of Christ in a more divisive way. And so I think that's what it's talking about. So trusting that God is working, and now we're going to be on that insert that's in your bulletins. Trusting that God is working these circumstances after the counsel of his own will, I believe each of us is responsible to demonstrate the love of Christ that bonds us together as members of his body. The body of Christ is more important than any individual member. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That is why we are to conduct ourselves the way we do. For his glory, for his purpose. And so I think that's very important that all of us understand that. It says here, that word, the love of Christ constraineth us. That means to hold together, to secure, to hold fast. And the love of Christ is the one that holds together all things. He's the one that is the creator and sustainer of everything. And the church, the body of Christ, he also holds together. And it's his love that does that. And I believe it's our responsibility to live our lives in such a fashion that even though we may disagree on doctrine, that we manifest that same love to keep the unity of the body of Christ. Again, I can guarantee you, the thing that probably bothers me, maybe it's a fleshly thing, but the thing that's going to bother me the most in all of this is what other people are going to hear from people that are in the flesh or from people that don't even know what they're talking about or anything else. But there'll be all kinds of conclusions about why this occurred and who's responsible for it, who's at fault, who's to blame, all of that, which is not building up the church, the body of Christ. And so I would hope that each one of us would have the courage and the strength when somebody starts to manifest that fleshly behavior, that you'll have the strength that my friend had and say, talk to somebody that knows. Or what gives you that idea? Who told you that? You know, a lot of times people like to say things, but they don't want anybody to know they're the ones that's saying it. There's all kinds of things that happen over and over again. And so have that strength and courage to put the body of Christ over your own personal feelings, your own opinions, your own motives. And so the love of Christ transcends all human contingencies. You know, can you imagine what a catastrophe the church, the body of Christ, would be if it depended upon us to keep it together? I mean, it would just be chaos. But I believe we have a responsibility to present ourselves in a way that heals, a way that builds up and edifies the body of Christ. And that's more important than our own personal desires. So how can each one of us make this transition one of praise and thanksgiving to the glory of God? We can't control what anybody else does, but we do have the power and the ability to control what we do. And so One, we can separate and go our own ways in His love, not in anger or rebellion or anything else. I don't see it that way at all from my perspective. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Oh, we read that already, so we won't take the time to do that. But I would encourage you to read that over some more, and especially the negative aspects of it, where it talks about here that charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. That's love. I can remember when I was a young kid and unsaved and living in a culture that alcohol was a way of life and everything. My best friend all through high school and everything, we were out having a pretty heavy time one night. And, you know, it's so easy. Oh, I love you, man. You're the greatest. And then before that night was over with, he was running my head into a gas pump. Ended up in the doctor's office with a bunch of stitches and everything, and he was still my best friend. But it wasn't really manifesting the kind of love that I'd like to have with him. So there's a difference between what we say and how we live. I love all those people, but. No, I love all those people. And there doesn't need to be any buts. And I desire the Lord's will for each one of them. So we can separate in love. We can grow up in His love. In my experience as a believer, we grow through circumstances. We grow through lessons, oftentimes in a negative way. We really screw up. I know I have in my life, and the Lord's used it to teach me things. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's not talking about West Valley Grace Fellowship. That's talking about the church, the body of Christ. And so the struggle, the controversy, whatever you want to call it, within our doctrinal issues has an overriding ultimatum, so to speak, or an overriding thing that says that we have a responsibility to conduct ourselves in a certain fashion. We can put on His love. I don't know about you. Some of the times I say things without really sort of running them by my conscience or my faith. My conscience is one factor, but that's sometimes seared. But the things that I know to be true, and I haven't ever found the Spirit of God negligent in convicting me of sin. And oftentimes I know when I'm preparing to say something or I'm in the process of saying it, that the Spirit of God convinces me that I shouldn't say it. But I still say it. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. And so we can put on His love. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and begin with verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If we could really believe that this is the way we are to live, that this is more important than anything of our own choosing, of our own flesh, or anything like that, we wouldn't have near as many struggles, I don't think. And so not only can we separate in His love and grow in His love and put on His love, we can edify one another in His love. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't need it, Glenn. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 19. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Our lives should be spent encouraging and edifying one another of our brothers and sisters in Christ in love. Again, we don't have to agree, and that's why I'm thankful that we should be able to have enough love. It is there, but we should be able to appropriate that love to allow the people freedom in Christ, to allow them to... Here's how I see the scriptures and why. Here's what it says right here. And here's what I believe. And somebody else says, I don't believe that. Here's what I see it says, and here's what I believe. That God is the one that teaches us the truth. And rather than to feel that, okay, we're alienated now because you don't see it my way. No, I remember when Abraham Lincoln was asked, do you pray that God's on your side? And he said, no, I pray that I'm on God's side. And so in this issue right here, I don't know, I don't see any idea who's correct in that doctrine or something. I believe what I believe. Others believe what they believe. And God will straighten all that out one day. But we can still edify one another in love. And I believe that's a big demonstration of your real faith, of your real maturity, is how you respond and react to situations, how you interact with your brothers and sisters as members of the body of Christ. And so we can edify one another. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I don't know how I could speak it any more clearly, that we have that command from God. And a lot of these, I haven't addressed that issue, but many of these instructions are commands from the Apostle Paul on how to behave. And so I think it's critical that we receive them in that light. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't know if you remember, I can't remember myself, whether it was in a Sunday morning service or Wednesday night service, but when I was first a believer and I was being led to teach and preach a little bit and stuff, I had that struggle about what can I really say myself that would be more important than the Word of God. So why not get up when I'm preaching or teaching and just read the Scriptures and let the Scriptures, by the power of the Spirit of God, convince the hearers of what it means or what it's saying. But that, I guess that wouldn't be really preaching then. But I believe that the Word of God is what really is used by God to convince others of what is the truth. And so that's why we're really spending a lot of time in Scriptures and not much for myself. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 30. And again, this is referring to a specific instance, but I think we can expand it to many areas of in our life. For if I, by grace, be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And so whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. If you are making a statement, if you're making information known, we need to examine it a little bit to see, am I doing this for the glory of God, or do I have some intention to bring harm or some way to cause a problem or something like that in what I'm saying? We can pray and encourage one another in His love. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, how this all plays out in the realm of human reality, so to speak, how this all, the formation of these fellowships, it would be my heart's desire, even though we disagree on this doctrine, that we can still come together to promote the gospel of salvation, that we can promote the gospel of the grace of God, that we can promote the teaching and preaching of the Word of God according to the revelation of the mystery, and for the well-being of the church, the body of Christ. And so, as we leave here this morning, it is most certainly not goodbye, because nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Our calling and our future extends beyond and greatly exceeds this earthly life and these present circumstances. It is my prayer that each one will be encouraged and encourage one another with this scripture. And here's the scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. One day, maybe soon, we will truly be all that we have been created for in the Lord Jesus Christ. But until that day, I believe it's our responsibility to do all we can in the way that we conduct our affairs to bring the glory to God and the praise to Him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, how thankful we are for the gospel of salvation that You have illumined our hearts to, that we have believed that gospel, that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit as our seal, guaranteeing our redemption. And one day, all the believers in Jesus Christ, with all of their different doctrines, with all of their different opinions, with all of the struggles throughout the ages, all of that will be removed when You bring us together to be with You forever under one head, even Christ. And so we do hunger and desire for that day, Heavenly Father. But until that time, I pray that each one of us will submit ourselves to You, that we will desire the oneness that Your Word commands us to, and that we will promote and encourage and edify our brothers and sisters as members of the body of Christ and members of one another. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.